Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, be with us as we go through our life and have the wonderful things and the times of trial. Lord, we ask you to help us to understand how to live faithfully to you. In Jesus' name, and amen. We see the wonders of life in front of us, and we see the troubles in life in front of us. So much is good, so much is trouble. And Lord, we see people in the past who have had this and that happen to them. There has been people who have put unjust situations upon others. There have been slaveries. There have been robberies and stealing or even killing. So Lord, guide us in these coming days as we see the troubles come to the world around us. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters and our family in Christ and people who need Jesus. Help them to know you and belong to you, Lord, in Jesus' name and amen. So we see the troubles around. We see things in the history. We have seen the good in people and the evil in people. And that reminds me of Ephesians 5:15. It is about making the best use of our time because the days are evil. Now we know that there is plenty of good and plenty of evil in the world around us. And we are thankful for the good and we want to be watchful for the evil, so that the evil does not affect the life of us and the people who we love. Yes, Lord, be with us as we go through the this and the that of life. The days are full of good and evil, and when we belong to Jesus Christ, we do things to show the love of God to others. And that is just what we do because we belong to Jesus Christ. There are lots of people who have a holiness about them, and there are lots of people who have an unholiness about them. And so, Lord, be with the people so that we can have a demonstration of how much we love Jesus as we go through life. Things happen that are unexpected. There are disagreements and troubles in life. And there are wonderful things that happen also. So, Lord, be with us through all of it and show us how to live and how to act as we go through life, faithful to Jesus, and amen. Now, we can see our family around us that needs help. We can see our neighbors and our church and many people who just plain need help. Let us show them the love of Jesus Christ as we go through life. Now, a government is also a help to us, and the government was partly by men and partly by the biblical example of how the structure is. Now, we see that there is a safety net by the government to help us people, citizens, with life. And Lord, help us to be wise as we understand what the services are and how the money works. And even if we vote for people who have wisdom with how to use our tax money, should it be to support the poor and the elderly, or the retired, or the military, or the government people? Lord, we have all these pressures pressing upon us as the banks get weaker and weaker, and the people get weaker and weaker financially. So there's losses going on in the billions of dollars, even hundreds of billions of dollars. We face troubles, but that has been the way of the world for thousands of years. People have had trouble, and people have had compassion. and people have had even slavery and indenturedness. And so that is something that just has been going on and will continue to go on because people are people. So, Lord, help us to get through all the situations in a way that is faithful to you. We do have things going on with our money situation as a country and personally. And we see the big companies in trouble and the government is in trouble because there's not enough money compared to what they want to spend. So I pray for wisdom and good judgment as things go. There are people who say that our country is in so much trouble that we are going to have another Great Depression. And that may be happening. But Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom to deal with it. We do see the possibility of troubles with money and with our electrical grid and with our government, all of it. We just see so many things. At least we are relatively free. And there is one thing, though. We are, in a way, slaves to what has gone on with the financial situation. And we are having to... we're struggling to have our needs, our basic needs met. So, Lord, I pray for mercy on the people of this nation and be with them and help us to deal with the problems that are right in front of us. The public has many problems, and the public is concerned with what could happen in the long term. And I really mean a crash and a depression, because that is what some people see. And what's the answer to that? Is the answer to have labor at a reduced cost? It could be. Is it to have artificial intelligence to help us to do things? Questions, and we're trying to figure out what to do in a way that preserves life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Today's dollars are, there sure is plenty of them, so many that is making our purchasing power decrease. And so we have reality to deal with, reality of our money and of our political situation, of our social situation. And that's one of the things I'm going to talk about here, is what happens when people no longer have a choice. What might we get forced into? We think of economic slavery, but there was a time when there was physical slavery. And I'm going to tell you the story about that in a few minutes. So, slavery has been an institution that has always been throughout mankind, and it continues. Sometimes it's forced, sometimes it's voluntary, but we have these situations which somebody makes a decision and somebody else pays the price. Now, it might be taxpayers. The government makes a decision, and the taxpayers pay for it. It's always different, but we do realize that there are forces of good and forces of evil that push for one thing or another. We have power, the structure of power in our legislative part of the government, judicial, military. All of it has a little bit of power. And right now, we have a presidential act that is going to give power to the World Health Organization to declare a pandemic in the country or not. Now, there is a chance that that will be disabled by our Congress, and there is a chance that it will remain in effect as president of this country has allowed. But we have things with Congress, we have things with the Supreme Court, and we are trying to figure out how to make our personal life good, proper, decent, and Christian. We have a president who has said that no amendment is absolute, and there are forces that want to reduce the rights of the citizens, and we are desiring to keep all the freedoms and all the rights that we do now have. But what could happen? We know what could happen, and that gives us a reason to say we don't want to be slaves. We want to be free in our own country. And freedom has traditionally been taken away from people a little at a time, and sometimes a lot at a time. And we wish to be aware of the things that would take our freedom so that we enjoy the wonderful freedom to worship God in the way that we see fit. But we enjoy the other freedom, too, of the economy, of travel, of having people around us who we love. And this is a part of the freedom in the tradition of America. This is a wonderful freedom, and there are people who have praised America for having these freedoms. I'm thinking of Yomi Park, who was from North Korea and escaped to China, became abused in China, and finally, with great trouble, moved to America, where she now lives. But it's an example of how we still have slavery in the world. And we have slavery among authoritarian governments. And that is why they want to control the people. And to control the people, they want to take rights and power away. Financial power, and make sure you only spend money on what they say to spend money on. Oh, there was the Nazi Germany 1938 Gun Control Act, which again took power away from the German citizens. And surprisingly enough, the United States passed the 1968 Gun Control Act. And these two laws of 1938 in Nazi Germany and 1968 in United States of America have the same law word for word. We have people who want to take our freedom. And that's something that is going on all the time now. They want us to be slaves. And I'm going to tell you a story about a slave in Iceland in a few minutes. But this is something which we just don't quite realize what it is like to have no more rights and no more freedom, because we have so much right now in America. We can buy what we want to buy, go where we want to go, and we certainly do love the freedom we have. I talked about that Gun Control Act, and it reminds me of Luke 22:36, where Jesus told his disciples to sell your coat and buy a sword if you don't have one. Now, that was for a special time and special circumstance. Are you going out to spread the word of Jesus right now? Maybe you need something like that, too. That's not for me to say. That's something which you read the scriptures and discern it for yourself. But there is something going on with that part of the scriptures clear. But another part of the scripture that is clear is the book of Leviticus, where people are held accountable for what they do, even if it's an accidental injury. The people are held accountable, and there will be consequences if they do something unintentional or intentional that hurts another person. So that's a part of what we live with right now, with the things that are going on. And I'm thinking specifically of a gun or a knife or something like that. We are called on to be res- responsible for what goes on. And we have a lot of confusion in our country when we are sure we have rights, but not all the agencies in the United States recognize our rights. Are we being responsible with the rights that we have? I mean, that's another one. But if there really was a good answer to this, I think it would be obvious enough that we would know it and speak it. But what do you want? What do you want your rights to be? How are you willing to stand up for the rights that our Constitution gives you with the Ten Amendments? There is a lot of questions here. Are we really living according to the Articles of the Constitution? I always like that. Article 1, Section 10, where our money is only supposed to be, they call it specie in the original Constitution. Now, the later versions of the Constitution say precious metal or gold and silver. But that is what specie means. It means that it is a valuable metal like gold and silver. So we have things that we are not doing according to our Constitution, and we have many forces at play pushing us one way or another, and we are trying to figure out how do we negotiate the changes in our world and the scientific things that show us, for instance, robotics. And Boston Dynamics has a lot of robotics in their development. And they have invested billions, like $500 billion, to develop their robots that are going to be smarter and stronger than human beings. And what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with robots, especially when they are smarter than we are? Do you think they're going to walk, jump, and run? Yeah, well, they've already got them. And so we have to figure out, what are we going to do? And are we going to be a part of that system? Well, good luck getting outside of that system. Or do you think you're not going to use money anymore? Do you think you're not going to go to the grocery store? Do you think you're not going to go to the hardware store? Well, you're probably going to have to figure out a way to be a little bit involved in the worldly system, which you might call the beast system. And if you are, you just might be a really active part, because you'll be tracked just like they track other people of the world. And they can do it. They can do it right here in America. They do it in China and India, one way or another. Now, maybe you don't consider it to be fully tracking, but it is whatever they want it to be. And so what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stay outside the system? Well, I hope you do, if that's your desire. But it's something that we all have to be understanding about what's going on around us. Do we have robots? Do we have drones? Do we have satellites and airplanes? We have all those things, and they are making an impact on the world around us. So we get to figure out, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the technology in the world, and how are we going to relate to it? Now, it's not that I know the whole answer. I just know there's things that are going on, and we have powers and principalities that are affecting one thing or another. Oh, yes, we have our executive branch and our judicial branch and our legislative branch. And we have government force in the form of police and military. So many things that we have in this world. Now, how are we going to deal with it? And maybe you don't know, because I'm not sure either. But I know that if we give them an inch, they will take a mile. And so it's a matter of, what are we going to do to preserve the God-given rights that we have? How are we going to enforce our constitutional rights? Is it for sure that you understand them? Well, if you don't understand them, somebody just might want to take them away from you, because they might want what you have. They might want your rights, They might want your food. They might want your anything. You just figure it out, because if it's something that they want and they can get it legally, they will. So how are you going to hold on to the things that you have, including the rights under our Constitution and Bill of Rights? How are you going to hold on to them? Maybe there's some you could exercise. Are you willing to peacefully protest? It's just a question, but it's things that have to go on. Our rights are certainly in danger, and we can be thankful for the rights that we do have. I'm thinking of just a few days ago in Israel at the Temple Mount. There was a man who was a Hebrew pastor, and he had his three children with him, and they went up to see the Temple Mount. They were on the steps outside of the temple, and, where Muslims worship. And so they were just walking up to look at it, and one of the children bowed down to the ground. Now, these children were between 3 and 6, but anyway, that's what one of the children did, bowed down to the ground, and probably it was an act of worship, but really we don't know. What children do things that are kind of funny. But the Muslim guards came out immediately and arrested the father and took the father and the three children into detainment. But that's an example of what goes on in the world. What are we willing to do to preserve the rights that we have in America? Well, we always say, God bless America. Well, how can we bless God with what he asks us to do? Are you willing to bless God with your behavior and your life? Well, it's something worth considering. As we look around us and we see the battle going on, a big battle between God and Satan, and God asks us to join him to live according to his will. And by the way, Satan also asks people to join him in living for their own desires. Because after all, if people don't belong to God, they belong to something else, whether it's themselves or Satan. So Satan encourages people to worship whatever they want and say, yes, I want this, I want that, and I will get it because I want what I want. So you have a choice about what you are going to, well, let's say worship. What are you going to uphold as sacred? Is it going to be your own will and the things in the world that you want? Or is it going to be God, Jesus? Or how about is the things that Satan wants you to uphold and hold in high regard? Are you going to regard them? Or we all have a choice, and we are encouraged through our Bible to worship God, Jesus, and to follow God, Jesus. We have a lot of things going on in the world, and some of them are cyber. We have computers and robots and all those things going on. Are you going to worship technology and say, look what technology can bring me? Oh, well, it's all a matter of decisions, and you decide this or that. But we want to follow God, because the alternative to not following God is to follow maybe yourself and maybe Satan, and then you wind up gnashing your teeth in outer darkness. That's what our Bible talks about. So you remember, you were alive today, and every one of us is alive, and we have the same basic opportunity to choose to follow God, Jesus, or to follow something that is a different choice, even a worldly choice, even to follow our own desires. You have a choice, and somehow you better live that choice. Live it and make sure that you want eternity in heaven, and that means you follow Jesus. Now, there are people who will tell you to be careful of what is going on in the world. In a way, they are called watchmen, and Ezekiel was a watchman. You can read about Ezekiel and see if you are also a watchman, because we warn people about the dangers around. We talk to people about the pleasure of heaven and the pain of eternal hell. So we have joy, great joy, as we feel the love of Jesus God and we love Jesus God. So stay close to Jesus and have your life demonstrate your choice to follow Jesus Christ. Every decision we have that we make helps to determine what our future will be. So stay close to Jesus, stay faithful to Jesus. And now we're going to talk about a fellow who was a slave in Iceland. His village was raided, and the slavers, who were not any particular race, but they were a mixture, took the people from Iceland and turned them into slaves, sold them for money. And that's a part of what went on then, and it goes on today in one form or another. Now, it can be an economic slavery where you say somebody owes you money and they're going to do what you want them to do until the money is paid. That is going on right now with the cartels at the southern border of the United States. We have things going on that are unjust and not right. So somehow we get to figure out how we are going to uphold Jesus and follow Christ in our life and tell people about the good news of the gospel. And that includes all people, whether they are working in this field or that field, or whether they are a slave. Everyone needs Jesus, and you can learn a lot as you read the Bible. I certainly encourage everyone to read the Bible and find out about the love of Jesus. Well, God bless you. Pursue God and love the people around you. God bless you.
While news of the pirates' approach first reached Grindavik and southern Iceland at the end of June, there were many grandiose words and much fearless boasting, not in the least by the Danish authorities. A defensive rampart was built around the Danish merchant houses on the Westman Islands, and ships prepared for defense. The Danes boasted that the Icelanders would all flee at the first sign of trouble. Preparations stood like this until people heard that the pirates had gone away, and that they no longer posed any threat to the Westman Islands. After that, people became careless, despite some warnings that they had been given, and this went on until the 16th of July, which was a Monday. Then, people saw three ships early in the morning off the south coast, one of which was very large. When the first ships were seen that morning, all the people were called to the Danish merchant houses for defense and strongly prohibited from leaving. They stayed there all that day until evening. When night had come, however, the people went away because the Danes began to say that they thought the three ships must be part of the defensive force that had been sent to protect Iceland. Then all the people went back to their homes and laid aside their preparedness. And so, these servants of Satan, the father of all ungodliness, got their will. This video is sponsored by Magellan TV.
What is the key difference between wyverns and dragons? A. Their size. B. The number of legs. Or C. Their manners.
Correct. In British heraldry, wyverns are often depicted with two legs. And so, my recommendation on Magellan TV this week is a great new documentary series called Myths and Monsters 4K, a six-part work that explores the bizarre history behind some of our greatest myths and legends. From Troy to Ragnarok, it is maximum epic and has some beautiful imagery. And of course, Magellan have more than 3,000 other documentaries to check out too. It's a sort of Netflix for documentaries. So, click on the link in the description for an exclusive, month-long, free trial for Voices of the Past viewers. Thanks. The next day, when the wind had dropped, the evil pirates lowered overboard three boats, which they called Slafur, and which are quite large, and very quickly put 300 men into them and rushed ashore. There were English fishermen in these boats who guided the pirates to an unusual landing place where nobody in living memory had ever before managed to come ashore. The pirates landed so suddenly that the people found it hard to escape them. They rushed with violent speed across the island, like hunting hounds, howling like wolves, and the weak women and children could not escape, especially on the farms above the lava, because the pirates had a shorter way there. Only a few of the people who were strongest or had nothing to carry or did not pay attention to anyone else managed to avoid capture. I, with my weak group, was quickly taken. Some of my neighbours managed to escape quickly into the caves or down the cliffs. Some were able to gain their freedom again, but who exactly I cannot tell, for I and my poor wife were amongst the first to be captured. We struggled for a long time until we were beaten and struck with the butts of their spears and had to give in. I've since wondered that they did not kill us all with their beatings. I think most of those attacking us were English. What follows, I have heard from four men who were left behind when the pirates departed. They saw the evil pirates first divide themselves into three groups. The group which was the biggest, perhaps 150 strong, carried three red banners. They went straight to the Danish merchant houses and immediately attacked. This was easy for them because the Danes had all fled half an hour earlier. The other two pirate groups quartered the island, capturing people wherever they found them, young and old, women and men and infants. The pirates captured people in their houses, on the mountain slopes, in caves and in holes, and even in inaccessible places where the Icelandic folk could not go except very carefully. They killed everybody who fought against them, and anybody who made the sign of the cross or named the name of Jesus. The dead lay everywhere. Four people were shot to death in caves. Four others were lured from there and deceived by the Turkish pirates. The Reverend John was killed down by the seashore, close to his home. At this time, the wind turned to the east, so that the scoundrel pirates got all they could wish. As the prophet says, "You let them free, so they should be slaughtered, and saved them for killing." One of the Turkish ships, which had never reefed sail, took advantage of the changed wind to sail at once into the harbour, where it shot off three cannon. The Landekirkcher church stood in flames. On Tuesday, as those of us already captured sat in the Danish house where we had been driven, the evil pirates gathered together everyone else whom they had taken, and in that crowd I saw my children. It was by now midday. The three houses where we were kept could no longer contain all the people, so the pirates ordered us to stand on the pavement in front of the houses, where we were surrounded by these evil men. When I came out of the house and saw their commander, I went up to him with my poor wife and we fell on our knees in despair in front of him and his under-captain and begged for mercy. But our begging did no good. When I saw their headgear, I knew that these pirates were Turkish. Then, all those taken prisoners who were considered to be in acceptable condition were transferred to the pirate's ship in 2 10-oared boats. The Icelanders were ordered to row against a sharp easterly wind, and they were beaten and flogged with ropes. Then we were forced onto the pirate's biggest ship, which had lain there at anchor in the deepest part of the harbour and never come near shore. When the pirates on that ship saw us climb miserably aboard, they rejoiced. A short time thereafter, I was called to the stern of the ship and commanded by the pirate captain to sit down. At once, two of the Turks took my hands and bound them tightly together while others bound my feet. The captain then beat me, striking and kicking me along my back while I screamed helplessly with the pain of it. I do not know how many blows he gave me, but he beat me as hard as he could until I was too hoarse to scream any longer. Then a man was brought forward who spoke German. He asked me if I knew about any money that might be anywhere. I said forcefully that I knew of none and wanted only that they beat me to death quickly and have done. They left me alone then, raised me up and ordered me back to the bow of the ship. I could hardly stand or walk, so badly they had hurt me. My fellow Icelanders had compassion for my poor plight, but the evil pirates just laughed. For the whole of the next day, the evil pirates were continually coming and going from the ship, and on each trip they came back with more wretched people as prisoners. But so that you, honest reader, should know the truth, I must say that after the people came aboard the ship at this time, the pirates did not annoy anyone, except me, but behaved well towards them all, and were even kind to the children, though this does not make the story any happier. Now it may happen that you would like to know what these vile pirates look like, both in personal appearance and in dress. Truly speaking, they are like other peoples, different in size and look, some small, some large, some black. Some are not of Turkish origin at all, but are Christian people of other countries, such as England, Germany, or Denmark, or Norway. The Turks all have black hair, and they shave their heads and their beards except on the upper lip. In truth, they are not very wicked-looking people. Rather, they are quiet and well-tempered in their manner, if it is possible to describe them like that. But the ones who have been Christians and have forsaken their religion, although they dress like the Turks, are by far the worst of people, and cruelly brutal to Christians. It was they who bound those taken captive and wounded and killed people. The most accurate reckoning of the number of Icelandic people killed is 34. There were 242 people captured in all, and by Wednesday evening, all were aboard the Turkish ships. When the poor Icelandic people saw their homeland disappearing behind them, there was much wailing and lamentation all that first day. When, finally, the wailing diminished, they tried to comfort each other in the plight with God's words, women as well as men, both young and old. On the 30th of July, my poor wife gave birth, after the proper time, to a boy child who was named after the blessed Reverend John. I myself baptized the child as if I were back on land, but my heart was filled with grief. When the evil pirates heard that a child had been born and heard the child crying, they gathered in a crowd. Two of them gave old shirts to wrap the child in. On that voyage, there was one of the pirates on our ship who washed himself normally every day in water. He was also washed by others during the month that we were travelling. The honest woman, Margaret, said that this pirate had killed her husband. All this washing could not make him clean. During our month of travel, two or three old women died who had been taken captive in East Iceland. Their bodies were wrapped in old sailcloth, and they were quickly tossed overboard. On the 16th or 17th of August, we came to Algiers, the place where our captors lived. Straight after the anchor had hit bottom, the captured people were put on land in a great hurry, and our sufferings, which God alone can redress, continued. When the poor Icelandic people were put on land, such a huge crowd gathered that I think it was impossible to count their number. They did not come for any cruel purpose, but only to look at the poor captives. We Icelanders were separated from each other, friend from friend, children from their parents, and driven through the streets from one house to another, to the marketplace, where we were put up for auction as if we were sheep or cattle. The people who had been captured in East Iceland were the first offered for sale, the men being kept separate in some houses, the women in other houses. This went on until the 28th of August, by which time most of the East Iceland people were sold. We poor Westman Islands people were taken to the marketplace in groups, each of 30. The Turks guarded each group in front and behind and counted heads at each street corner because the inhabitants of that place will steal such captive people if they get the chance. When we came to the marketplace, we were placed in a circle, and everyone's hand and face were inspected. Then the king chose from this group those whom he wanted, every eighth, as I mentioned earlier. His first choice amongst the boys was my own poor son, 11 years old, whom I will never forget as long as I live because of the depth of his understanding and knowledge. When he was taken from me, I asked him in God's name not to forsake his faith. He said with great grief, "I will not, my father. They can treat my body as they will, but my soul I shall keep for my good God." I and my wife and our two young children, a one-year-old and a one-month-old, were taken from that place up to the king's hall, and there we sat with the children in our arms for 2 hours. From there, we were then taken to the king's prison, where we spent that night. From that time on, I do not know what became of the rest of the Icelandic people. I would like to comfort and strengthen the people with my words, but I cannot, and whether I speak of such things or not, my suffering does not lessen. Whatever happens, we are the Lord's. To tell the truth, we captives were given ample food. Evenings and mornings we had bread warm from the oven and good porridge groats with fat put into it. Nothing else was given us to drink other than lukewarm, brackish water. What I saw in this place of evil people is difficult for me to describe, because I was so disoriented and grief-stricken at that time. The first thing that we captives met on the streets when we came ashore were the donkeys, heavily laden. These animals are small by our standards, no bigger than a 2-year-old mare, but they are very strong for carrying things. In that town I also saw 5 camels, which are strong and enormous. I saw a dwarf man and also a dwarf woman, because they are so common in that town. He looked to me to be less than 2 ells tall, and she 1.5 ells tall. He had a short trunk and was long-legged, with long arms reaching almost down to his knees. He was black as pitch, with a big head. She was astonishingly fat, with short fat legs and a long trunk. The town itself is built upon the slope of a mountain. It is narrower, near the upper end at the top of the mountain. Seen from a distance, it seems to be about 1 mile wide. Many there are who look fair and embellish themselves in order to better carry through their evil business. As David says, whatever happens, we are the Lord's. During the time that we 3 Icelanders were in our house, Jesper Christiansen and I felt unwell, but John became truly sick. Then my honest wife was allowed to visit me, but not stay there very long. O Lord, our transgressions deserve punishment, but you help for your name's sake. During that time I was barefoot and had no shoes. Then God awakened one Frenchman who had been there for a long time. The man gave me new shoes and some aqua vitae when I was sick. And then that same man told me many Icelandic people were lying sick and dying all around the town, which did not make us happy. He also told me that in the Christian cemetery there were already 31 people buried. The Icelanders could not endure the terrible heat of that place. The same Frenchman also told me that a girl who had been my servant, who was very good-looking, had been sold, first for $700, but then a rich man came from Jerusalem, 38 miles to the northeast, and paid $1,000 for her, and took her back with him to Jerusalem, where he gave her to a Christian man. In that place, Christian men cannot have intercourse with Turkish women, nor Turkish men with Christian women, otherwise they lose their lives. About such things I do not need to write further, except to say that I witnessed these things, and that they are truth. On the 20th day of September, I was taken from the house where I was imprisoned by 4 men, and brought to the street where the house containing my wife and babies was located. I begged with all humbleness and prayer of the men who had fetched me that I might be allowed to say goodbye to my wife and the children who were with her, all of whom were deadly sick. I was hardly allowed 10 words with them, however, and then my captors callously pulled me away. Oh, distress on distress. After this painful meeting with my family, I was taken to the street where the official who was to issue me a safe conduct lived. This safe conduct, written in many different languages, I was to give to any Turkish pirates who might capture a ship on which I was a passenger. The document explained that I should neither be killed nor interfered with because I was acting as a messenger. I still have this document and have shown it to several people, including the Archbishop of Copenhagen. In order to receive this safe conduct, I had to kiss the pirates' hands again. And that same day, I was put aboard an Italian ship. On this voyage, I suffered great hardship and distress, and at one point, for lack of proper food and water, I was reduced to drinking water which a lion, a bear, an ostrich, and some monkeys and poultry had drunk from and befouled. Even so, I was glad, so thirsty was I. We came in sight of Iceland on the 4th of July, and on the 6th to the Westman Islands. When I came there, the poor people received me as if I had been their own best friend returning again from death. Some of these honest men and women proved themselves to be kindly and generous. My poor daughter took me in and cared for me. The 7th day of that month, I went to the mainland, and there met my beloved neighbours, relatives, and good friends who received me with complete joy and did everything for me that they could, so much that I cannot write it all. All the people were very kind and generous towards me. God opens the hearts of men and showers mercy upon those who most need it. All good gifts come from our Father in heaven above.
Lord, give our people, give our warriors the understanding that they need to fight slavery in the world. Amen. History has shown that we don't want to be slaves. We don't want to do what we are told when we are told to do it. It's time to work the farm, Mr. and Mrs. It's time to pay your taxes, Mr. and Mrs. It's time to do this and that. So instead, we want to be free. That means we need to have a little savings, and you can do that however you want. The traditional ways have been gold and silver and land, and whatever the land produces, whether it's produce or cotton or cattle or minerals. We want to remain free, and we take advantage of the land that we control or own. Now, there are all sorts of parts about what we need to stay free. We need water, food, and warmth. Do you have a source of water? Can you clean the water you have? The food, are you going to buy it, or are you going to grow it? Everything takes work. And the passage in the Bible that says, if you don't work, you shall not eat. It seems to be a very definite rule. So let's see what we can do to work and provide what we need in the way of water, food, and warmth. Now, I will add a couple of things to that, because we also need our spiritual direction, and that means we need God. And the way we understand God is through our Bible. We have a Bible, and we have a hymnal that we can sing praises to God. How wonderful. So that is what we do when we think of what else we need. It's better if we have God to help us to look at the world we live in and understand what it is we need. We need to also have the love of our family. And so we take care of them, and they take care of us. Family gets extended to becoming a community. We show people that we care about them, or, as Matthew 22 says, love God and love our neighbor. And so we do that. Now, there's other things that we can do to show compassion. We might care for somebody who is sick or somebody who's been robbed, like in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We take care of people, and that is another part of what we need to stay free. We need care and compassion as a community. And we give that as best we know how. Again, I will say, everybody needs water and food to live. Do you know what water and food you need? It seems to be different for everyone. Now, it has always been that there were fruits and vegetables and meat in ancient societies and in Israel. So we have water and meat and vegetables and fruit. This is the basics of what we need, and we can grow all of them ourselves. But we choose to go to grocery stores and get their food. And we hope that it's not grown with pesticides or something else. Well, how do we stay free if we need to stay free? We have what we need. And that usually includes transportation. Will we be riding a horse or a bicycle or a car? All of those things take maintenance. We might need nails for the horse's horseshoes. We might need tires for the car. We might need reins for the buggy or the horse. Bicycle tires for the bicycle. So yes, we need to trade and to get things that we need for our journey towards freedom. freedom to travel, freedom to associate it, and that is a part of also staying free. Now, lately, there has been conflicts in the world, and we might also need a military or a police force, or maybe we are going to be the police force ourselves. Maybe we are going to be the Minuteman force to defend our home country, to defend our home and our family. It's something which we all will view in a different way, but it is something that we seek to understand and to take steps towards preserving our freedom as best we know how. So water, food, and warmth. We can have things to trade, which is also good, and we can have a community, which is essential, because a community will help us to do things or get things that we would not be able to do alone. If you think of some of the alternative religious people, they have a community that helps them with everything. If we need to build a house or a deck or a barn, the whole community comes over and helps to do that work. It might be a community that we need to, even defend ourselves. I mean, it's a possibility. Because we have more things going on in the world now than ever used to be, well, in our lifetime, in our experience of America, and things are looking like we need our neighbors to help us to provide what is just normal for everyday living, whether it's gardening or barn raising, or help with putting a farm equipment together, or just for trading. If we can trade our corn for their wheat, that is something that is also needed. And how do we do it? One step at a time, just like with everything that is easy or difficult. We might not know how to do it initially, but we continue to learn and to show compassion to our family and our neighbors. And that's what we need. So you can think about how you can get through a time of difficulty. I think we all want to do that. Get through a time of difficulty and show love and compassion to God and your neighbors. That's Matthew 22:38. And we want these things for us, and we want them for other people, because it's the best thing that we can do to show our love. And then we also preach the gospel, which there it is right in the Bible. That's what we do. We show our love to other people by preaching the gospel. And whether we are slave or free, we have this compassion that we share with our neighbors. That the slave or the free has been a theme that has been existence ever since the Bible has been around. The Bible days, there were free and there were slave, and people got along and would be free in Christ Jesus. That is still the same today. We are free in Christ Jesus, and certainly we have to understand how to be free, but as we read scripture and we pray about it, we find more and more freedom. I pray that you do that, and you seek to have human relations with the people, neighborly relations with the people around you, with your family, with your friends, and with the neighbors in different communities. This is what we need to help each other as a godly people. And when I think of the founding fathers like John Adams, they talked about being a godly people, and that was necessary to remain free. That's what it takes to have that kind of respect, commitment, and compassion to people who have the similar values as we do, as you do. And that's what it takes to keep everything going in a way that is securing our freedom as a people, as a person, and as a nation. Our founding fathers have had some very good writings, and somehow, if we don't learn what they are, we neglect to be able to define them. And if we cannot define them, then it becomes more difficult to understand what they are and how to preserve and protect them. We have a country and a nation, and if we let it go, we might not get anything back that we expect. So please hold on to the freedom and liberty that we have and that we love. It is not just the liberty to do what we want or even to sin. It is the liberty to follow Jesus Christ and give him praise and worship, and that will preserve our freedom in the world. God is much more able than we are. So we pray to God and seek to do his will and ask for his protection and provision. And he helps our gardens and our fields grow and protects us from so many things. So be sure to pray and give thanks to our God for all the blessings that we have. We pray in Jesus' name, and we always lift up Jesus in our words, in our mind, and in our song. And these things will preserve us as we consider our gifts that were given to us by our founding fathers, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our heredity with the freedoms that were made in the agreements before the Constitution. All of it has come through to show that we are a people who want to be protected in and by our freedoms. And then we act responsibly as Christian people. That's what John Adams talked about too, that we will be responsible as Christian people and show love and compassion. We have some great founding fathers. So if you are confused about anything, reread the basic papers of our founding fathers and remind yourself that you want to live according to God's rules. Love God and love your neighbor as we seek to preserve our republic. And we pray in Jesus' name with continuing thanksgiving for all the blessings that we do have. God bless you.